Online family, my name is Kenny, and I'm minister students at West End Baptist Church, and the one that's in charge of this thing called Crossroads. One of the things we like to do at the beginning of each school year is our new students are coming in. We like to take a night and just kind of give them an understanding of this ministry that they're getting involved in. And I couldn't think of a better way to start our very first podcast than to do the very same thing. So we're glad that you're with us, and welcome to Crossroads. All right, guys, we're going to get started. If you give me a little bit of your time, I'm going to get you out of here shortly. We do want to welcome you to Crossroads, and this is so much more to me personally than just a midweek service where we get together and have a Bible study. This is a huge part of my life. And one of the things that I get asked a good bit is, what is Crossroads? Whether I'm wearing a t-shirt or they say a notebook or one of our students comes up and starts talking about Crossroads, the question is posed to me a great deal, what is Crossroads? And they'll ask the question and then try to answer it themselves. They say, so what's Crossroads? Is that like your student ministry? And I go, yeah, it is, but it's so much more to me. And in this time that we're together, I just want to share with you what Crossroads is, kind of how it began, and how God is leading us in this ministry. In 1997, there was this place called West End Baptist Church, and they contacted me to possibly come and be a student pastor at this church. Now, I was currently serving at my home church. This was the second church where I was at First Baptist Thorsby, and I told them, I said, I'm not interested in going anywhere. And so they were very diligent, I guess you would say, in pursuing me. And I was blown away. Why would a West End Baptist church contact me? Why would this church contact me? Why would anyone contact me? But they called me two times, and I told them, no, I wasn't interested. And the third time they called, they said, Kenny, we believe that you're the man that's supposed to be leading these students. Would you at least come listen to us? And so I said, you know what, I'll do that. I told them I'd been praying about it and just didn't feel any that I was supposed to go anywhere. I felt like I was where I was supposed to be. But when I told them I would come listen to them, God really started changing my thought process and all this. And so I went down, and after sitting with them, honestly, for about 2 hours and hearing their heart and their love of their students and their desire to see God do something in their students, and to hear them say, we believe that God is leading us to you. I went back home and prayed and contacted them and said I would be honored to take this position. So I came in, they brought me in on a Sunday. And it was one of the strangest things because it was a larger church. It was by no means a big church, but it was bigger than any church I had served before. And the pastor told me, he said, hey, I'm going to take you up to the youth area. And what the youth area was just an old classroom in behind their old sanctuary. And he took me up there and introduced me to the teenagers. And of course, I walk in and I'm trying to be the cool guy. And I'm like, what's up, guys? My name's Kenny. And everybody just kind of looked at me. And our pastor, he said, we're excited. We believe that God's bringing him to be your youth pastor. And we're just excited about what all he's going to be doing through this. And so as we get time for the worship center, the pastor looked at me and said, we want you to get up and share a little bit. And so I was like, okay, I can do this. I looked around and there was a house full of people, you know, but it wasn't a huge crowd. And the pastor looked at me when he stood up to welcome everyone that day. And he said, and today is a very special day. We've got Kenny Martin, our prospective youth minister, is here with us. And in a couple of minutes, he's going to get up and share his testimony with you. And when he said that, my heart just stopped because I was like, I just thought he wanted me to get up and share a little bit. And now I'm sharing my testimony. So immediately I start going through the millions of things that happened throughout my life. And I was scared to death. And when I stood up, it was the typical Baptist church. You stand up in front of a congregation and there's an adult choir behind you. And so I got behind the podium and I stood there and I just said the first thing that came to my mind. I said, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I don't want to put you to sleep. That's what the pastor's for. And the church came unglued. They burst out laughing. And I turned around and looked at the choir and they were all laughing as well. So I kind of knew that this was the place I was supposed to be. But during this time, I was a bivocational youth pastor. I cut grass for a living. I was a yard boy. And I would work 60 hours a week cutting grass, and then I would come in and try to do youth ministry. And we started out with a handful of students. And the first couple of times that I met with them, I just felt like there was something different that we needed in this thing, this youth ministry. And at the time, most youth ministries were named after their church. If you were a member of First Baptist wherever you were First Baptist, wherever's youth group. If you were a member of Calvary, you were Calvary's youth, you know, and no one really had their own name. And something God had really laid on my heart one day on a lawnmower, he just kind of spoke this into my spirit. And it was one of these things that these students need an identity. They need something that when people see their name, when people hear their name, they know exactly what they're talking about. And something more than just being tagged to the church, they need to kind of be their own thing. Now, that wasn't to separate us from the church, but they needed their own identity. And so one Saturday morning, I got up early and I was cleaning my apartment. And as I'm cleaning my apartment, I always like to have music going. And so I had music playing. And as it was playing, I went to step over my jam box. Yeah, I'm that old. I had a jam box, but it was a CD. And the CD's playing, and it was this group, which by no means do I say is a good group, but they just had this song. And as I'm stepping over this jam box, I hear this song, and they keep talking about See You at the Crossroads. It's a group called Bone Thugs and Harmony. And again, I would not say that this is a good group, but there are times that God can use anything to speak to you. And so as I keep hearing them say, See you at the crossroads, and it's a rap song, and I love rap music, so I was all over it. And I just put it on replay, and I kept listening to it. And that word crossroads just stood out to me. I guess you would say I'm a word nerd, and there are times where certain words just really speak to me, and I can't get them out of my mind. And so the name Crossroads just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and I just couldn't get past it. And so I went to our pastor, and I said, I got a question for you. He was like, yeah, what is it? And I said, what if we called ourselves something other than West End Baptist Youth? And he just looked at me. I said, Crossroads. And I said, these students are at a crossroads in their life. They're not adults, but they're not children. They're at a place where they've got to start figuring out life for themselves. And so that is genuinely a crossroads. And you know, when we come to a crossroads, we're looking for direction. And he just looked at me for a second with the most puzzled look on his face. And then he said, I love it. He said, I think we go with that. And so we did. And so I introduced it to the students and said, we are going to be called Crossroads, and God's going to do something special through this time. And they just kind of looked at me like, whatever, because it's so tough breaking into that crew, you know. But after a couple of weeks, you know, a couple of days, I had been pouring through scripture, just like, God, why would you say crossroads? Why would that just keep coming up to my mind? And I couldn't figure out exactly why he had spoken that to me. And then I'm reading through Jeremiah one night, and this is what the word says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and ask for ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And as I read that passage of scripture, I knew immediately that's exactly where God had led us, that there was something special about this thing called crossroads. And so I talked to my pastor and I said, I want to do something different. I said, we're breaking ground into new territory. No one else has their own name. And I said, I realize all we have is a youth room. I said, but I'd like to do something different. And I want to start with the basics of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And he says, okay. And I said, I'd like to paint the youth room. And he just looked at me. And you got to understand, this is a room that had been used by teenagers for years and years and years. And it was painted one time like a witnessing bracelet, all the different colors, the black, the red, white. You know what I'm talking about. So it was painted, and there were so many layers of paint on that. The room was probably a foot smaller than it actually was supposed to be because of all the paint that had gone over it. And when I told him what I was wanting to do with the basics, I said, and this is going to sound crazy, I said, but I want to camouflage paint the youth room. And he just looked at me. And our minister of music was standing there. And he is a younger guy too. And he had been there about 6 months before I started. And he says, man, I love it. And so our pastor was like, do it. And so we camouflage painted the room. We closed it off for a couple of weeks, wouldn't let anybody come up there. And our pastor had started about a month prior, and I'd started doing it with our students as well. I said, hey guys, it's coming. And they would say, well, what's coming? I said, I can't tell you. Hey guys, it's coming. Well, what's coming? Well, I can't tell you. And this is actually before we actually introduced the name of Crossroads. And so our pastor would get up and he would start making announcements in the morning. He'd say, oh, and to our students, it's coming. And they got so frustrated with that. Well, the night it was finally supposed to happen, we were going to unveil the youth room. We were going to do the introduction to Crossroads and just explain how the name happened and all this. Well, On my way to church, a car came across and hit me head on in a collision. One of my friends was carrying me to church, and I ended up in the hospital. And it was one of the most deflating things because we've been hyping up this time, all this time, and it just fell to pieces. But I got through that car accident, got out of the hospital, and had a lot of folks come see me, and was just blown away by the love of this place. And so the next week, Crossroads began. And there was a lot of buzz about it because it wasn't a church name in youth. It was, this is Crossroads. And they're like, we're Crossroads. This is Crossroads. And I had talked with our pastor, and we had T-shirts made. And again, this was before. A lot of folks did T-shirts. Now you've got a T-shirt. Oh, it's Tuesday. Let's make a T-shirt. But this was a T-shirt that was made, and we were excited. It said basic training, and it had Crossroads Student Ministry on it. Very excited about where God was leading us. And as we continued to go through this process, I just felt like there was something else that I was wanting to do with our students. And I couldn't figure out exactly what it was. And I kept thinking. And as I'm sitting there one day, there was a Pepsi commercial that came on. And when the logo of Pepsi came on, I just started staring at it. And I was like, you know, you don't have to say Pepsi. You see that logo and you know exactly what it is. And so we're at a Bible conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or in Pigeon Forge. And one of my adult chaperones, I'm talking to him, said, hey, do you know much about computers? And he said, well, I know a little bit about them. I said, I need a computer-generated graphic. And he said, well, I'll try. And I said, here's what I'm looking for. And I gave him the idea. And he sketched something up, and it looked good. And so we started putting that logo on stuff. And we were pointing people. It was a cross with a road that kind of went to it. And we were excited about that. But as the ministry continued to progress, we started seeing that there was different ways of communicating. But there was still something. There was a symbol that we wanted. And we thought back to the ichthus. You know, there was a time in Christianity where if you were a follower of Christ or if you were a follower of God, you couldn't just come right out and say, I follow the Messiah, I follow Yahweh, I follow God, because there was persecution that went along with that. So as you were talking with someone, as you were having a conversation in the square, you would take your stick and you would draw half of a fish. And if that person was a follower of God, then they knew exactly what you were doing, and they would complete that fish. That way you knew you were in fellowship with a fellow believer. And so that symbol had always been important, and I just kept thinking, there's got to be more to what we're doing. And so I had gotten to where I was a little more familiar with computers, and I started playing with some stuff, and I designed this symbol that I thought was going to be the stuff. I thought this was it. And I took a street sign, made a symbol of a shape that looked like a street sign, and I put a cross in the middle of it. And I was like, Crossroads, it's perfect. It's a road sign with a cross in the middle. How could you go wrong? And so that was our symbol for probably a couple years. And then there was this video game that came out. Now, I don't do video games. I had an Atari 2600. If you want some Pac-Man or Donkey Kong, I got you. But, you know, the new video games, the controllers have got too many buttons and all that. So I got out of video games, didn't care anything about it. But I kept hearing these kids talk about Halo, Halo, Halo. And so I started looking into what Halo was. And the best I could understand, all that whole video game is about going into a battle and fighting. And I just started thinking, you know, every day these kids are going to fight. And some of them don't even realize that they're in a fight. They're just going to school. But there is a fight between what is right and what's wrong. And so we took our logo, our Crossroads symbol, the street sign, and we shrank it a little bit, and we took a shape. We kind of made a shape that looked like the Halo symbol, and it was very similar to it. I didn't by any stretch steal their symbol. I made something that looks very similar to it, and I put it around that street sign. And that was huge for a long time, and it was We didn't really explain it a whole lot. We just said, hey, we're changing and we're reformatting the way we look. We're changing what our look is. And everybody was cool with it. And then something happened. I was at a World Changers in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we had our students there. And the guy that was speaking has been a friend of mine for years. And he gets up, and as he's speaking, he reads this scripture to us. And it's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, this is the word that we have heard from God and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And I could not get that out of my mind. I laid there on my little blow-up mattress all night just going, that verse has just really rocked my face off. And so we kind of adopted that verse as the crossroads verse. And as I started hearing that, it just kept speaking to me that God is light. God is light. And then, of course, you know, I go immediately to this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And then I'm reading this book by Ted Decker, and he puts out a little video, and it shows this little girl singing this song. And then the little candle she holds is blown out, and Ted Decker's face comes out, and he says, "Who told you your light's small?" And, you know, it tells us in God's word that you are a light on a hill, a city on a hill, that you can't hide your light. You don't hide it under a bushel. And I'm going to let it shine. So I started thinking about, if we're going to shine our light, it can't be a little bitty candle. It's got to be a brilliant light, because God is that light that we're shining. And so we designed a symbol that looks, I guess you would say, like the Green Lantern. And it's different, and that's one of the first things people say is, "Oh, so you like the Green Lantern, huh?" And I go, "Well, not really." And I say, "You got to understand what this means." And so we ended up, our logo for the past 10 years or better has been this logo, this final design that we came up with. And when I explain it to our students, this is what I do. I say, "Guys, what you got to understand is that this very centerpiece, it's a street sign with a cross in it. It's a crossroad sign." And I said, every day you're at a crossroads and you've got to decide what you're going to do. And we read the scripture to them about stand at the crossroads and ask for the ancient paths. Find out which is the good way and you will find rest for your soul. And I said, every day you've got to center your life. And that's why it's in the middle. You center your life around God and you make sure he's in the center. But when you do, and then we step to our next symbol. And I said, this is a symbol from a video game that was all about fighting. It's all about going into battle. Every day you've got to fight to make sure you keep Christ in the center of your life. And it's a battle and it's a struggle. And you're going to have times when you fail. But every day you've got to fight to try to achieve that. And then we go to our next one. I said, and this symbol is similar to what we would say the Green Lantern symbol is. And you understand that the power the Green Lantern had came from a ring that he wore that had a symbol on it. But he had a light. And that ring would show light when he pointed it, when he directed it somewhere. And God has given you a light, and you're supposed to shine that light. So our logo has become a big part of what we do. It's on any publication that we send out. It's in every shirt that we make. It's in any graphic, every graphic, I guess you would say, that we do for our midweek studies. There's a Crossroads logo in it somewhere. It might be hidden to an extent, but it's in there because we believe it's that important. And that's kind of how Crossroads began. Crossroads is so much more to me personally. Now, when I started there, I was single and just loved doing what I do. And then there was this girl that came into my life named Jessica. And we ended up getting married. And she became part of Crossroads as well. And one of the things that she's a school teacher, so she has a better understanding how to work with kids than I do. But we work with these students, and she is such a huge part of our ministry. And she's a woman that our girls can go to. She's a woman that encourages me. And it's just been a beautiful thing to see how God has used her to do so much in our ministry. One of the things that we try to focus on, of course, at Crossroads is not just us feeding them. God is to get them ready to feed others, to make disciples. One of the things that Christ has called us to do, as a matter of fact, one of the greatest commands that didn't make it into the top 10, he says to us to go and make disciples. As a matter of fact, some of his last words said was go and make disciples. And for us to make disciples, we have to become one first. A disciple is someone that learns of God, that lives for God, and shares that message. And that's what we're trying to do with our students. Crossroads is a 7th through 12th grade ministry, but one of the neater things about our ministry is the area where we're located. If someone goes to college, they go off to college, and they're not convenient. It's not convenient for them to drive back. But for those that stick around, for those that are going to community college, or for those that have the ability to come back, we really encourage them to come back and pour back into the ministry that is poured into them. And that's one of the things that brings us great joy and helps us feel like we've accomplished something. It's when these students come back and are pouring love into these younger students. And it's just an exciting thing for me personally to watch that happen. As we prepare for conferences, I have college students that are contacting me and going, hey, we want to be a part of this. What can we do? Can we be a chaperone? Can we be a small group leader? And it's just really a beautiful thing. Crossroads has changed so much throughout the years, as has our church. Our church has changed a great deal as well. I'm at a place now to where I've been at this church long enough to where some of the students that are in my youth ministry, their parents were actually in my youth ministry. And so it's been really neat to see that. And I joke, you know, when I tell people that I've been serving at this church for 21 years as of right now, I've been serving at this church as a youth pastor for 21 years. They'll just look at me and go, 21 years? And I jokingly say, well, I don't know if I'm too smart to take a real job or too dumb to be offered a real job. But what it boils down to is this is what God has called me to do, is work with these students. And that's my greatest desire. My desire is not to have the biggest youth group there is. My desire is not to have the coolest t-shirts or to bring in the biggest artists. One of the things that people ask from time to time is, what kind of games do you play with your students on Wednesday night? And I just look at them. I say, you know, we don't really play games. And they just look at me and go, yeah, okay. And I make jokes about everything. I say, hey, I'm like an Xbox from the thrift store, baby. I don't play. And they think it's funny, but I mean, what it boils down to is we never really had a space to do games. And I only get 1 hour with them during the week. Now, they've got Sunday school. We've got leaders for our Sunday school groups. We've got our circle group, which is our discipleship program that we do. And they've got leaders for their circle group as well. But for me, the only time I get with them, I have about an hour, and that's 25 minutes of praise and worship, and then I get what's left to speak to them. And so during that time, I don't want to waste time playing some frivolous game. I really want to make sure that I'm punching them in the face with God. And that's what we try to do on a weekly basis. God has given us the opportunity to do so many things at Crossroads, from going to World Changers. We were involved with World Changers for years, where you go in. It used to be a ministry of the North American Mission Board, and we would go in and rebuild homes and communities and, in doing that, share Christ with people. And then we've pulled away from World Changers. I had the privilege of speaking for World Changers for years, and I absolutely loved it and would love to do stuff like that again. But I'm getting old, and you don't want an old youth guy coming in, so I don't really do that much of that kind of thing anymore. But we started doing, you know, beach retreats where we could spend time focusing in relationships. We believe that one of the greatest tools in ministry is developing that relationship. First, a relationship with God, and then a relationship with others, so you can share what God is in your life. And so a lot of our ministry is focused around that. When we do our beach retreat, we do things like a Disciple Now weekend, where there is specific material to kind of reach into where we've been leading them throughout the year. Over the past couple of years, we started doing this thing instead of going to a big conference, which we have loved for so long. And conferences have been wonderful for us. But we just decided we wanted to try something different. And we did this thing called Friendsgiving. By no means am I an original person. And I saw, I think it's Passion City Church, during the week of Thanksgiving, they do something called Friendsgiving, and it's for their small groups, their community groups. And I just saw that name and I was like, man, it's so good, because it keys in on relationships. And so we go and do a weekend where we take our students up into the mountains of Tennessee or into a camp somewhere, and we spend a weekend developing our relationships with God, developing our relationships from leaders to the students, but developing relationship, excuse me, within the student's body itself. That's one of the most important things to us, because there's not one ounce of me that believes students come to Crossroads to see what Kenny's going to do or to hear what Kenny's going to do. They come to Crossroads because their friends invite them. And that's what we want them to do. We don't only want to see our students inviting people to come to church. We want to see our students bold enough to invite people to God. And one of the things that I've taught with our students about for a while now is, you know, when was the last time you shared what God is in your life? And let's face it, for a student, for an adult, it's a scary thing to do that, because a lot of times who we're sharing with are people that have walked the same road that we've been on, and they've seen our mistakes. They know our history. And for you to get up and say, this is what God is, they can look at you and call you out on your mistakes. And so a lot of times that fear keeps us from doing that. So God really laid this on my heart. There's a ministry called I Am Second. And what they do is they've gone in and they take celebrities. And these are athletes or television people or movie stars or business owners. These are big name people. And they sit in a chair and they look at a camera and they talk about what their life was. And then they talk about where God's taking them. And so God really laid that on my heart, and I just asked the question to our students. I was like, how many of you have shared your faith in the last 6 months? And no one raised their hand. I said, okay, let's just think. How many have shared their faith in the last year? And still no one raised their hand. And I said, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think, have you ever shared your faith? And I said, the number one reason you probably haven't shared your faith is because you're afraid. And I said, that's normal. People are afraid to share their faith. I said, but what if we gave you a way to do it that you don't have to be afraid? And I said, we're going to set up a studio. We're going to set up a recording area. And what we're wanting to do, we're going to start this ministry called Who I Am. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to sit in front of a camera, and we're going to pretend that you've only got 10 minutes to share with somebody what God's done in your life, about who God is in your life. And I said, we want to start this ministry. And when I said that, I paused for a second, and you saw several students. You could see a light go off in their head, and they understood this is a way we can do that. And so before we ended that night, I said, to those of you that really want to do this, now this isn't something that you do because you think it'll be fun and you can be on YouTube. This isn't something that you're going to do because you can get on there and just kind of ramble about things. This is because you want to share what God is in your life. And I said, understand that if you do this, people will see that. We have no idea how many people are going to see it, but your friends are going to see it. And they're going to be watching you. And you're going to be held accountable for what you're saying on that video. So I don't want you to do it thinking it's just going to be something neat. I want you to do it because you genuinely want to share Christ. And I had a young lady that was a senior in high school. She had actually graduated. This was in the summer. And she said, before I go off to college, I really want to do this. And she was a leader in our praise team. A rock in our youth group. She was, for many youth ministries, one of the things that we face is when our students get older, their life becomes busy. They become kind of bored with the youth guy or whatever. I've run them off, however you want to say it. But we start losing senior high students, and she was a constant. She was one that stayed. And it was just beautiful to see how God had used her to encourage younger students and to reach out to her peers as well. And when she said she wanted to do it, I said, you realize what this means? She says, I'm ready. And so we set up the studio. We brought her in, and I said, okay, I'm going to push record, and I'm just going to leave. And when you get finished, I want you to come get me. And so I pushed record. I went into my office, and this young lady's testimony has touched well over 1,000 people. And it's been a beautiful thing to see how God is using this opportunity that she took to share what God is in her life to touch people's lives. And that's part of what Crossroads is. Our greatest desire is to help students and families alike grow into a living relationship with God. And the way we try to achieve that is to every week give them an opportunity to grow in Christ through Sunday school, through circles, through a midweek service, through the encounters that we have at a football game or a band competition or a cheer competition or a softball or basketball or golf or track or whatever it is. We want not just our adult leaders, but we want our students to be a shining light of what God is. And that's what our goal is. And the thing is yes, you're going to get older and you're going to step out of teenage ministry, out of youth ministry. We've had students that have walked away and never came back. We've had students that have walked away and are now full-time youth pastors, missionaries. They are hosting Bible studies at their colleges. They're worship leaders' places. They're going to seminary. And by no means is that something that Kenny's done. It's something that God has done through this thing called Crossroads. it's become more than just a youth group. It is genuinely a youth ministry, and it is probably one of the most exciting things that I've ever been a part of. That's what Crossroads is. And our prayer is that through a podcast or watching a message online or actually coming and being a part of one of our midweek services is that God would speak into your heart and you become more than just someone that merely exists. You become one that shines that light everywhere you go, and you would have that abundant life that God wants you to have. Hey guys, I do want to thank you again for being a part of our podcast, for being a part of Crossroads. If you've got any questions, contact West End Baptist Church. Contact me personally through YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the social media stuff. I try to keep up with that. But most importantly, our prayer is that at some point you'll be able to sit down and just fellowship with God and see what it is that He has for you. Thank you for being a part of this again, and we'll talk to you soon.